The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome to IMC. And I feel that making a welcome today is kind of poignant. And so I want to just make sure that it's really, like, you know, it's meant that everyone's welcome here. Places like this, hopefully all places of faith, hopefully all places of Buddhist sanghas and communities, are places where the doors are open and everyone is welcome. And especially these days are the people who this week start feeling unwelcomed in different places they go. It's very clear that there's all kinds of people who both indirectly, but sometimes very directly, are feeling unwelcomed by others here in this country. And there's lots of stories of now coming around of people who are told things, children in schoolyards are told things like, you don't belong here. And so it's a time for many people to be afraid because their particular demographic has been singled out and said, you know, terrible things to them about them and how they don't belong or how they shouldn't be here or we're going to keep you out. And so some people feel very clearly targeted and feel very sensitive and afraid. And it's very unfortunate that anyone should be afraid for who they are here in this country. And so I wanted to make it clear that everyone is welcomed here. And that means everyone from all sides of the political spectrum as well. There's mostly what I hear is people saying things around the country, in schools, schoolyards, out in the streets, all kinds of places. And oddly enough, I was a little bit surprised by this, but I don't know if it has to do with more of the fear or the reality, but there's a annual conference for scholars of religion, professors of religion in San Antonio this year, Texas. And one of the universities that's sending its professors there to this annual conference sent out a message to all the professors saying there's been now reports of academic people being criticized, being attacked a little bit. And so I think when you go to Texas, you go in pairs. And I just like, really? It's gotten that bad already? Or is it more still people are afraid how bad it is? But here in Redwood City, too, there's been violence. But in Redwood City, the violence was against a Trump supporter. And so it happens in the whole range, you know. And so one of the interesting things about this election is that a week ago, before the election happened, it was a guaranteed thing that just as many people probably in this country were going to be miserable as happy. Just as many people would be horrified and afraid by the outcome. And what it teaches me is that that the idea of fear in our society is just a little below the surface. And the people now who are celebrating, they could easily be just, they could have been the ones who are afraid right now. And so fear is kind of, you know, something we all share. And one day, some people feel like they're getting what they want. Next day, it could be very different for them and for us and for those, you know, for everyone. And so fear is something that's very close to the surface. And I think it's not far away from the people who feel successful, feel they won. And it's certainly not far away from the people who feel that they lost. And so how do we relate to the fear that's in our society? How do we relate to the fear that's in us? How do we recognize that the fear is a common shared feeling for many people in our society? It's unfortunately one of the things that we hold in common with each other. And if fear is close to the surface and that pervasive all around, Are there values, are there approaches to life which are deeper than fear that we can root ourselves in? And I hope that when people come to Buddhism, that we discover values that are deeper than fear, resources, things that we can have confidence in, that puts fear in a context that we're not caught up in the fear or consumed by it, or with the hate, or with the anger, or with the grief. And so one of the, and I bring this, I evoke this idea that there's fear everywhere, even if it's not necessarily being now expressed by some people. The Buddha said that fear is one of the causes of violence. Ill will is one of the causes of violence. And clinging, attachment, is one of the causes of violence. And delusion is one of the causes of violence. And so for people who are angry, for people who are afraid, it's a time to be very careful, time to be very mindful, so it doesn't quickly go towards violence or towards aggression or more hostility. And so people who lose an election, people who feel kind of horrified by what's happened, there's a lot of fear. It's really a time for a lot of care and a lot of attention and a lot of care for oneself. And to use the principles, use the practices of mindfulness, for example, and compassion, to be able to relate to the fear in such a way that the fear doesn't fester or the fear doesn't trigger decisions and actions which are not helpful for what's happening here in our society. So it feels very important to me that everyone feels welcomed and included, and I hope that we can create a society where we consider the welfare of everyone, not just the ones who win, not just our people. The Buddha said that it's a wonderful, but it's a, I think for me a very poignant poem from the Dhammapada, where he said, "Victory gives birth to hate. The defeated sleep tormented. Giving up both victory and defeat, the peaceful sleep delighted." And I find it kind of sad that we are, end up in situations where there's winners and losers in the way that there is. Especially when half the country is a loser, you know, or half the country is a winner, because it exasperates the divisions. It kind of implies that whole kinds of a whole bunch of people don't count, and their hearts, their welfare, their thoughts, their aspirations, their values don't count, and we won, so we count, and we get to say what has to happen. And I think that if the other party had won as thoroughly as the current one has won, would it have been a lot better? I don't know. You know, okay, this whole winning and losing thing is so strong in our country and the divisions. And the question is there an alternative for us? And where does that alternative begin? What might be that alternative? And what has deeper value? What's deeper in the heart than fear? And one of the things that I feel is much deeper than fear is love. And I think this should be a time for love, for to be able to find that. And the more strongly we're alarmed, the more strongly that we're dismayed and moved by all this, I don't want to say the more important it is to love, but the more important it is to take a really good look at what's going on. The more we're impacted, the more it means that something really important in our hearts has happened. It's not a mild thing or a minor thing. It's not an incidental thing that for the people who are aroused in a big way, that they're aroused, that they're alarmed. It means that something very important inside has been touched. And so we want to respect that and care for it, which is an act of compassion. To have compassion for what's, you know, these deep wellsprings of needs for belonging, needs for security, needs for be able to live a life that feels meaningful and you know, living our values. We have deep, deep psychological, heartfelt needs. And so the more we're upset, I think the more it represents something inside of us that needs our care and our love. The more that we're upset by what's happening socially, the more I hope that we are willing to be changed. And especially if there's a lot of fear, because fear is a sign that something needs to be different. Sometimes what needs to be different is in ourselves, and so we have a practice that's very powerful to work with fear, to be able to sit and be still and confront and look at our fear and not be overwhelmed by it, to have a power of mindfulness that's stronger than the power of fear, and to be able, by turning our mindfulness towards it and sitting with it and holding it, to be able to relate to it with compassion and care, and not to keep feeding it, not tell stories that keep kind of strengthening it, but find a way for some of the fear to settle and relax. Not to dismiss it, but so that deeper places of action can come, deeper places of motivation can come. And so in ourselves, we have a practice that we can somehow can support us and be a resource at this kind of time. For our society as a whole, the greater that we're alarmed by something, the greater we're something is ruptured inside of us by something, I think that it's important not to think we're going to go back to just business as usual. Even if, you know, they suddenly, the election results were changed, oh, we made a little mistake. You know, we dropped a few decimals. And, you know, and so it actually, it's the other way right now. And we can kind of all go back to how it should have been for some of us. It would be rather sad if that happened. And we can just go back. We can go back to the way things were, and everything's okay now, and we can lower our guard. That forces of division, the forces of people being hurt in our society and being afraid, don't go away, even if the election got flipped the other way. So the more that we feel it, what's going on, I think it can be a motivating force for what's the best in us to come forth to try to support and help our society, for each of us to be a force of good in the world, and to make a difference. And part of the, and not to just accept, oh, what was the way our comfortable life before, if it was comfortable, that's the status quo we're supposed to have. Something was not comfortable in our society. Something was deeply uncomfortable in our society for many people for a long time. And so can we be motivated by this to make a difference? And with if we have no motivation, if we feel no agency whatsoever, that's a recipe for succumbing to fear. Fear is real. It should never be dismissed, never be ignored. But it's possible to drown in fear. And the drowning in fear happens most often when people feel they have no ability to make a difference. And I would like to suggest that everyone has an ability to make a difference. Everyone has an ability to tap into the deeper values that we have inside. And one of the deep values I'd like to offer that is love. And Buddhism has four kinds of love that it champions as social virtues, social actions. One is loving kindness, which is to wish for the welfare of others, to care for the welfare of others. The other is compassion, which is to care for the suffering of others, to really be tuned into that and be willing to be a witness for it. The third is appreciative joy, to be able to celebrate other people, to appreciate other people, to see other people as gifts, to be able to recognize the gifts that someone is. And I think that if we start seeing each other as gifts, then I think the best in everyone will begin to shine forward. And so what is the gift of the people you encounter? Even the what's the gift of even the people you disagree with? And and then equanimity, a deep abiding stillness and calm that doesn't get swept up in the dramas of the moment, through which love and care can be expressed, can be felt, the love of equanimity. And this can be a tremendous power. Now, one of the interesting reflections for people who are caught up in a lot of fear, people who are caught in anger, people who are caught in grief, and what I'm about to say is not to diminish the importance of allowing oneself to feel and allow these emotions to be there when they come. But the question is, what do you believe in most? Do you believe more in fear than you believe in love? And some people believe, you know, they wouldn't think this consciously, that I believe in fear, you know. I belong to the fear party, join me. But functionally, there's such a strong attraction or such a strong authority that can be invested in fear or anger or hurt, that functionally we say, yes, that person really believes that's important. That's like the most important. Not that fear is unimportant, but what if we believe that love is more important? Wouldn't that be a whole different game? If where we invest what has most authority is our capacity to love each other, to care for each other, to have compassion, and to have confidence in that, to have confidence that really makes a difference for our world and for ourselves. So one of the great images, symbolic representative images that Buddhism offers, is the Buddha sitting in meditation, kind of his. And the Buddha sits in meditation, at least in this kind of the statues that we have, very upright, very straight, with a chest that's quite open. And you maybe can't see from a distance, but his eyes in these statues are always open. But they're half open. And the idea is that he's paying attention equally to inside and outside. And he's not leaning forward, and he's not leaning back. He's not burdened, his shoulders not burdened with the weights of the world, but he's also not ignoring the situation of the world. And so it's a posture of confidence, but it's not a posture of withdrawal from the world. And so what does it take for us to be able to find that capacity in our own hearts, in our own minds, to be able to be present with confidence, to be present with an open heart and an open chest, to have the eyes open, to witness, be a witness to ourselves and the world around us, to sit with compassion for ourselves and the world around us, and to do that with confidence. What would it take? So we have a practice in Buddhism. We have practice of meditation, practice of mindfulness, practice of ethics, practices of love, of compassion. And part of the idea of a practice is that it takes practice. You're not supposed to be perfect. And what's nice about the practice is that it's kind of like mindfulness, it's a brilliant practice because it can meet you wherever you are. And people are in many different places. Each of us are in different places on different days. And some days what mindfulness needs, what we need, is careful tending to our hurt, careful tending to our emotions, without any shame or any guilt or any embarrassment, just this is what we need. Other times, mindfulness allows us to tap in to sources of confidence and strength and love that's there, and we can bring it forth. Other times, mindfulness is appropriate to use for our being a witness to what goes on in the world, and no longer attending to ourselves, but attend to others, and bring our mindfulness into the world, our attention to others, and be a witness. I think being a witness or being attentive to the world is one of the gifts that we can give the world. Not to close down, not to disappear, not to be ill-informed, but to be aware and present for what goes on. And the image of the Buddha, the idea of this practice of mindfulness that's kind of applicable in all these different areas, is also a way of discovering how to be at ease or at peace in all these areas. Not to be in conflict with anything that goes on within ourselves, maybe without any conflict in the outer world. Certainly not any hostile conflict. And so so in Buddhism, one of the emphasis is that the world begins with us. When we wake up in the morning, the whole world begins with us. It's kind of a ridiculous statement. But in your world, it's true. In your world, the world that you experience, the world that you live, the world that you touch, that world begins when you wake up in the morning. And how do you choose to step into that world? How do you create the world, that world? How do you inform it? How do you influence it? What do you bring into it? What gift do you have for it? But if you take the opposite view, that you wake up in the morning and someone else created the world for you. Someone else, other people have shaped the world for you that you live in. You know, there's some truth to it, of course, depending on what you mean by the world. But if the world out there, if you hand over the creative functioning of creative act of creating the world to others, then you don't have any agency. And then you're living maybe the victim of what other people do, or under the, you know, you have to put up with what people do. Both are true, of course. But what Buddhism emphasizes is that the world that we experience has its genesis in the thoughts that we think, the motivations that we act on, the feelings that we have, the views that we bring to it. And we can we have an important role to play. And if we are going to make a difference in this world, then we have to be agents of changing the world. And it starts with us. So this idea of the Buddha sitting upright and strong and confident is the confidence of someone who feels that that stepping into the world to create the world is possible. You don't want to get delusions of grandeur of how much you can make change the world, but to wake up in the morning and say, okay, what can I do now? What's my role? What's my place? The strength of my mindfulness, where is it needed right now? The strength of my compassion, where is it needed now? Is it here in for my heart? Is it for my neighbor? Is it for the world? Where is it needed? What do I have to offer? What's the gift? And then the other thing I think about when I think of this iconic image of the Buddha meditating is that not only is it an image of strength, I think it's a very strong image of sitting upright like this, but it's also an image of calm. And the combination of calm and strength are a wonderful combination, and they go hand in hand. And some people think that strength requires being agitated, but perhaps there's a stronger strength that comes from being calm, being settled, being peaceful. A kind of a strength, we don't succumb, we don't get caught up in the anxieties and the fears and the angers and the hostilities and, you know, we don't get caught in it. We can have it, but we don't get caught in it. we can stay confident and calm in the midst of it. And maybe let bring, by doing so, bring forth some other values that we believe in the most. So one of the things that you might consider doing this week, this year, this decade, is reflecting and considering what are the values that you want to live in the world with? What's really important for you? And are these values that support the world around you as well? Are they values that help create a better world for all of us? And then what can you do so that you have confidence in those values and confidence in yourself coming into the world with those values? And then you can make a difference to your world. And my hope is that one of the values is not to live in a world of winners and losers, but to live in a world where we try to look for the greater good for all of us. We don't want to ever forget anyone. We don't ever feel that someone is unimportant. But what is it? If we really listen to each other and understand each other, there's so much commonality we have, so many common sources of aspirations and needs that human beings have. And if we really take the time to hear each other and care for each other, then I hope we can together find the greater good for all of us. And I hope that Buddhism, as it develops in this country here, places like IMC and other places, can be a force that is inclusive of all beings, in an attempt to be inclusive, to represent a possibility, a movement of being a mediating force in the world, a mediating force between winning and losing, or right and wrong, a mediating force that helps us to look for and find what is the greater good for all of us together, and then to come with confidence that we can do this, confidence that it's worthwhile. And the worse things get, if they get worse, it's hard to imagine they can get worse than they were various times in my life growing up. Growing up in the 60s, you know, there were times when I thought I was going to die, you know, because of the violence in this country and what went on back then. And I was pretty, you know, fortunate circumstance, and I felt danger back then. And going to college and having college students shot and killed on campus by the police. Are we going to come to that again? I hope not. But the worse things get, the more we're needed. It's that simple. The worse things get, the more we're needed. And for those of you who care about this, the practice of Buddhism, practice of mindfulness, of meditation, of compassion, are ways of preparing ourselves in case we're needed. And I say that with tremendous conviction, and I'll end with this point, that it was pretty bad in this country when I was growing up. It's hard to know when it was worse and what's better, and you know, it's hard to know exactly, but it was pretty bad. And I first got interested in Buddhism when I was 20 years old, Buddhist practice. And one of the primary motivating forces to get involved was because how bad it was in our society, how bad it was in the world. And I felt that in order to participate in trying to make a better world, that I might feel moved to be involved in acts of civil disobedience. I'm completely committed to nonviolence. But being nonviolent doesn't mean that we just sit around and watch TV. It meant the willingness to put your life on the line. And one of the big hook to me, or big reason I got interested in Buddhism, was that I was afraid to die. I was afraid to put myself in situations where I would be that kind of risk. And I didn't like that. I didn't want to live that way. I wanted to be able to live from my deeper values. And I looked around, and somehow I fell upon Buddhism as the way to deal with this fear so that I could be courageous enough to live in the world in a strong way when the time comes. So it's a fantastic practice that we have. It's so many different dimensions to it, so many different ways it supports us in our lives, so many different, you know. But one of the ways, if you do it, whether you want to or not, if you're a good practitioner, dedicated practitioner, whether you want to or not, you'll be prepared for when the world needs you. And some people think the world needs you already. The time is now. The time was last week. Time was last year. It's always the time. It's time. So I hope these words are supportive for those of you here, because it's hard for me to know how to speak in times like this in a way that's supportive, but that's certainly my wish. I think one of the things that's very supportive for some people is a chance to be able to share how it's going for them, to be able to listen to someone who's empathic and cares and can listen well, because sometimes to have what's in our hearts bottled up in there, or the agitation swirling and the fear unspoken, can make it worse, whatever's going on, whatever we're thinking about. So what we're going to have available here now at IMC is there's about 9 or so senior members of the community who've gone through chaplaincy training, who've gone through a mentoring training we do here, who are going to be available to sit around the kind of perimeters of this meditation hall. You can go up and talk to them if you'd like. Maybe a 5 or 10 minute conversation if there's other people waiting. And their job is just to be an empathic ear to you and just listen and be present for you, and if you feel a need to talk about what's going on for you. I think a couple of things for this to work, so that you can find them and all that. They'll stay in here. But those of you who are not going to talk with them, don't stay in here too long. Because, you know, and there's the tea out there, so that you can go. And then, you know, come back, there's a line or something. I don't know what's going to happen. And also, they have name tags on, I think most of them do. And before everyone stands up to leave, I'll ask them to stand, so you see who they are and identify them, and then we'll end. And those of you who want to talk to them can find a couple of chairs and sit and talk. And the rest of you can either have tea, or I hope you have a wonderful week, exactly. But I hope you have a profound week, because the opportunity that's presented to everyone in all ranges of the political spectrum, the opportunity that's been presented is, if you're really paying attention, is you can have a profound week. So won't you stand, those of you who are going to be available? Richard? You sure? Okay, so everyone else can, now you can do what happens next. Thank you all.